Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
He looked at me and he said, stick with your wife. I thought, that's the stupidest piece of advice I have ever gotten. I didn't even write it down. I thought it was so dumb. I ain't writing that down. Put my pen away. I've been in ministry for 40 years this year. And if I could distill everything I've learned and say this to you dads, I'd say this one thing. Stick with your wife.
Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message where he taught us the importance of time. We all have been given the same number of days in a week, the same number of hours in a day. But how do we invest the time God has given us? That's the question. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, your last 5%.
Let's take a look at each of these. Number one, would you write down in your notes, a vibrant relationship and growing relationship with your spouse. Now remember, if you're not married, still listen, because you're going to need these principles. You know, it says that somewhere somebody said, a happy wife, a happy life. I think that should be in the Bible, shouldn't it? Because it's really true. How many of you would agree if you have a vibrant relationship with your wife, it affects everything else? And conversely, if you have a terrible relationship with your spouse, it'll affect the rest of your life. How many of you know that to be true? Yeah, absolutely. And so this 5% affects everything else in your life. In the book of Timothy, it talks about deacons. But deacons, that word deacons, every one of us is like a deacon because it's the word diakonos, which is a servant of God. So he's going to give us some instructions for servants of God. Let's take a gander at this. Would you read this with me on the screen? Go. Deacons, or God's servants, must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. Now, when it says husbands should, men should be the husbands of only one wife, the reason it says it like that is because in the original, what it means is this. You are to be, and talking to dads just for a second, you are to be a one-woman man. That's the real translation. Because, you know, you can be married and still have eyes for other ladies. You're not a one-woman man. You're like a three-woman man. But I'm still married. No, it's not about the certificate. It's about the heart of that person. And so Timothy is saying that Paul's saying to Timothy that he needs to be a one woman man, not just married to one. Let me give you the importance of that through a story that was in the first part of my ministry. I was fresh out of Bible college, and there was a man in the eastern part of Oregon. I went to Bible college in the western part, and in the eastern part, there's one of the last few circuit riding preachers. One of the last of the Mohicans, where he didn't pastor one church, he didn't pastor two churches, he pastored three churches, and they were miles and miles apart. And so here's his regimen every weekend. He would preach at one church, have breakfast with the people of that small 40-member congregation, drive 2.5 hours, and then have a noontime message and sermon at another place, and then have lunch with them, and then drive another 2.5, 3 hours to a third location. There we would have an evening service, and he'd have some dinner with the congregants there, all small churches, around 30 to 50 people, and then a 4-hour trek back to his point of origin. Well, he had heard me speak at some youth conference, so he said, would you come and speak for me? And he told me about his circuit riding route, and I thought, wow, this is adventurous. It's like a safari. So I said, okay. So I remember going to his house Saturday and stayed over at his house. And Sunday morning, we loaded up into his car, and he drove a Ford Maverick. How many of you remember the Mavericks? Raise your hand. Okay, you're old. I don't. Anyway, we get in this car, and we go to the first service. And so I preach, and he's just sitting there watching, and then we have breakfast with the people. 2.5 hours later, we go to the second location, have a service, and we have lunch. 2.5 hour drive later, a third location, and I speak and we have dinner. And now we're on our way home, 4 hours in the car. And I reminisce about how he was loved by the people and how there was such an ambiance of compassion and true, genuine, authentic caring. And there's just a beautiful relationship. Now, this man had been, he was in his 80s by this time, I think, early 80s, and he had been in ministry for 40 years. 40 years. And on the way back, I said, and I called him Brother Cook, I said, Brother Cook, if you could distill 40 years of ministry into one thing and tell me that one thing, what would it be? He said, what do you mean? I said, take all of your experiences, all of your knowledge, everything that you have gained, distill it into one thing. What would you tell this young minister like me? It's fresh out of Bible college. What would it be? He said, one thing. I said, one thing. And I pulled out my pen. I thought, here it is, man. This is going to be a revelation from God. This is going to come with a lightning strike and all kinds of cool things. He said, one thing? I said, just one thing. Distill everything of 40 years. One thing. What would that be that would be the key to ministry success? And I'm waiting like this. And he's tapping the Maverick steering wheel for about 4 minutes, which seemed like an eternity. And then he turned to me. He said, one thing. He said, one thing. He said, all right, here it is. I said, oh, man, I was starting to nervous like chicken skin already. And he looked at me and he said, stick with your wife. I thought, that's the stupidest piece of advice I have ever gotten. I didn't even write it down. I thought it was so dumb. I ain't writing that down. Put my pen away. That's so dumb. I've been in ministry for 40 years this year.
Hallelujah.
And that's not what I'm trying to tell you here. So, I've been in ministry 40 years, and if I could distill everything I've learned and say this to you dads, I'd say this one thing.
Amen.
Stick with your wife.
Amen.
Now, I know mistakes have been made, and sometimes we say, the question is, can you change your past? The question is not what you're going to do with your past. The question is, what are you going to do with your tomorrows? So take the principles of God and allow them to be embedded in your heart so that you'll live differently, think differently, counsel differently, regardless of your past. Counsel not according to your experience, but counsel according to the ways of God. And so take that and run with it because it is so important. It's a part of your 5%. You get that right, God says, I'll multiply the other 95%. You watch. But if you get that wrong, it'll affect the other 95% of your life. The second thing that only I can do is to be a dad to my kids. So a healthy family relationship. Now, you say, well, I don't have a family. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody does. Oh, no, I'm not married. I don't have a family. No, everyone has a family. It could be a small group of friends that God's asked you to commune with that'll speak into your life like brothers and sisters. Or this church could be your family. You're a single person, a single lady. This becomes your family. And can I encourage you that you need to give somebody permission to speak into your life? It could be a pastor or a counselor or a revered friend, but you need to give someone permission to speak into your life. Listen, because we're all frail people when it comes down to it. And there's going to be times that we can make pretty good decisions, but there will be times, mark my words, where you are not going to be able to make a good decision. The pull of the world will be too great, and you need someone who's clear of mind, close to God, loves Jesus, and loves you in that order to make the decision for you, and you submit to that. Those will be what we called last week opportune moments for the enemy, because at those moments the enemy is preying on you, waiting for you to make that one mistake, because your eternity, your future, your destiny is linked to those decisions. And God will raise up someone to help you to navigate that precipice so you don't go over the edge. And you need to give somebody permission to speak into your life. One of the greatest mistakes of Christians is when they start growing, they figure, oh, I can hear God on my own. Yeah, that's cool. So they just kind of fly solo, and then they get nailed at this opportune moment. The world's pull is so great on them, and they're not listening to anybody else, and they make the most fatal mistakes because they've forgotten what a family is. But going back to those who are dads, let me just speak to you. Your relationship with your family is so critical. Let me tell you about a song that was very popular in yesteryear. It was a song by Harry Chapin, who was a well-known musician, and that song became very popular. It was called Cats in the Cradle. And it has some poignant lyrics to it. Let me read to you some excerpts of his song that went to the top of the charts, but yet it had a very prophetic tone to it. Goes like this. My child was born just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. So he learned to walk when I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be just like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. He walked away and smiled and said, I'm gonna be just like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. Last verse. I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it was sure nice talking to you, Dad. Sure was nice talking to you. And the song ends like this. Just then I realized my son's grown up just like me. Now my son's just like me. Now, that's poignant enough, but let me give you the rest of the story. In actuality, Harry Chapin did not write that song. It was written by his wife, Sandy Chapin, right after their son Josh was born. When Josh was 7 years old, Harry Chapin was doing 200 concerts a year. And his wife said to Harry, Harry, when are you going to spend time with Josh? He said, I got a summer tour and it's full. So I promise right after the summer tour, I'll take some time off and I'll spend some time. He didn't make it to the end of the summer because on July 16th, he was killed in a car crash on the Long Island Expressway outside of New York. You see, you don't want five words to determine your life at the end, which was, I didn't have the time. When in actuality, all of us have the same amount of time. We just have to make sure that we invested in that 5% because that's the multiplier effect. And those are the things only you can do. Nobody else can do that. Remember, your greatest asset is your uniqueness. What is it that only you can do? So the first is your relationship with your spouse. And the second, your relationship with your family. And let me give you the third. The third is only I can grow spiritually. I wish someone else could read the Bible like crazy for me. I wish, but you just can't. That's why here at New Hope, we encourage everyone to learn how to do daily devotions. You can do it with others, but you need to do it with yourself, you and Jesus, because you've got to grow spiritually. And one day the enemy is going to come and you'll be tested. And if this stuff hasn't been archived, it's too late. So only you can grow spiritually. You've got to do that. And let's read what Colossians 1:10 says, as God encourages us in the same fashion. Read it with me. Go. See to it that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, here it is, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How many of you would agree with me that we could increase still a little more in the knowledge of God? Raise your hand. Yeah. You see, if you're increasing in the knowledge of God, you're staying fresh. Oh, you might have a mile and a half left to go. But if you're increasing in the knowledge of God, even if you're in the second grade, as it were, spiritually, it keeps you fresh. It keeps your ears keen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But when you stop growing or increasing, your hearing atrophies. Things start to get dull. And you could be 20 years old in the Lord and get dull. But if you're continuing to grow, it keeps you fresh in the things of God. So that's why your daily devotions is so important. And that's a part of your 5%, because only you can do that. And let me give you the fourth. Not only growing spiritually, but would you write down staying physically healthy? Physically healthy. Oh, I wish I could delegate that out. I wish I could pay somebody to run for me, pump weights for me, get on the treadmill for me. Oh, while I watch TV and use my remote and exercise my thumb. I wish someone could do that for me, but only I can keep myself physically healthy. Now, I'm going to share something with you that will blow your mind. Are you ready? When you take time to keep yourself physically healthy, it's almost like going to church. You say, well, what are you talking about? What we're about to read is a scripture that we call this sometimes a sanctuary, the house of God, where the presence of God comes because people are gathered together. Did you know that the Bible is going to tell you that your body is also a sanctuary and the Holy Spirit lives there too? Amen. And when you keep your temple healthy, it honors God. And when you don't, conversely, it dishonors God. So when you're actually doing stuff like pushing aside the second or third helping of dessert, it's like you're honoring God because you're going to take care of this. No one can do it for you. Only you can do it. And it isn't something just physical. It is actually something spiritual. Let's read the scripture and you'll see what I mean. Go. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Here it is. Therefore, honor God with your body. So when we are taking care of our body, both physically, morally, with energy, it honors God. And when we get lax, it's a dishonor to God because he bought us with a price and he wants us to honor him with who we are. So when it comes time to go to the gym or take a walk, do that, and it honors God. Isn't it true if your health goes flat, does it affect the other 95% of your life? You better believe it. But if you're healthy and energetic, will that affect everything else? I tell people, work on yourself more than you work on your job. Because if you're improving yourself, everybody around you will become automatic beneficiaries of your improvement in health. Hallelujah. But if you let that droop, everything else droops. You understand the multiplier? So your 5% is what only you can do, no one else. And let me give you the last one. Only you can take time to enjoy life. Do you know the first 4 years of pioneering this church, although we live on a beautiful island surrounded by beautiful water, because I was so busy rushing here and rushing there, I never touched the water once in 4 years until God convicted me and said, man, I created all of this beauty and you are not taking time for it. Did you know that when you take time to enjoy life, it gives you time to be grateful to God? Amen. You say, wow, Lord, this is so beautiful. Thank you for this. But if you don't, if you're caught up in the rush-a-day world, you watch. After 3-4 days, you've hardly stopped to say, thank you, God, for this beautiful creation. There's an old rabbinic saying that goes like this. One day, God will hold us all accountable for all the things that he created for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. So I'm going to give you a rule, a principle that'll transform your life. And it's called the 10-second rule. Are you ready for this? It'll be revelation. It'll change you. All right. We all know about the 5-second rule when it comes to food services that fell on the floor. Isn't that right? All right. So it's like you drop something on the floor. It's like, oh, 5-second rule. And then you consume it. And I think about that and I thought, that's the dumbest thing in the world. It's like you drop pizza, boom, face down on the dirty floor. Boom. And you can hear the conversation of two germs. Let's jump on this thing and infect the human. Let's do it. No, there's a 5-second rule. What? Yeah, the human just invoked the 5-second rule. So count 1,001, 1,002. Come on, come on. No, 1,003, 1,004. Oh, Harry just picked the pizza back up and he's eating it. Oh, man. Well, how are we going to infect humans when they keep invoking the 5-second rule? I don't think so. Germs don't follow rules. On immediate contact, it's infected. But yet we have fun with this 5-second rule. Well, I'm going to give you a bona fide rule, and it's the 10-second rule. Are you ready? This is how you can enjoy life. Here it is. Take 10 seconds, not an hour, just 10 seconds. 10 seconds more to enjoy the sunset. How often we look at, oh, that's nice. Let's go. Come on. Get in the car, you kids. Get in the car. Get in the car. Yeah. I saw it. Get in the car. No. 10 seconds. Just, wow. That's, oh, was one green flash. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds more at the table, enjoying that last bite instead of inhaling your food and then rushing off. Just 10 seconds. That was really tasteful. Thank you, Lord. That was great. I tell you, it will increase your gratefulness tenfold. 10 seconds more with a friend to just tell them how much you appreciate them. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds more saying goodnight to a child. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds more with your spouse to say that you're grateful. 10 seconds more to watch the sunrise and breathe in the fresh air before you rush off in your car. Just 10 seconds. And you'll find that you're being grateful to God so much more and life becomes so much more beautiful. 10 seconds. Just 10 seconds. And it's hard for us to do because we've been conditioned by a rush-a-day world. But 10 seconds, discipline yourself, 10 seconds to just whoa and reflect on the importance of what you just heard. See, some of you are like, this is so hard. Just 10 seconds. No, just say anything. Don't keep this quiet. Say anything. I don't care what you say. Just say something. 10 seconds. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds of sitting with someone just to say it's good to be with you. Just 10 seconds. Not long. But if you will apply and invoke the 10-second rule, it will help you to enjoy life that God created for you. And that'll be a part of your 5%, which is an exponential multiplying effect for the other 95%. If you'll prioritize, not abdicate the other 95, just prioritize the 5. It will allow God to multiply your years and your days. That's what He promised, because you are now investing time wisely because you understand the importance of that 5%, and you'll begin to appreciate as you live the abundant life that God promised. Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Your Last 5%. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember the verse Pastor Wayne gave us from Colossians chapter 1. See to it that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in all you do, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited space is available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.